21 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject today. You're welcome to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. You're invited to do so. Love to hear your opinion, your thoughts. Who should make the decision to butcher a healthy body of a young lad or a young lady? Who should make that decision? Is there an age limit? Should a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old child cognizant enough, mature enough mentally, emotionally to make a decision? I won't have butchering surgery done on my body. Listen, we have discovered in the research that I've done, and it's pretty well known in the world of proper research and not research done by the biased side of the journal, if you will, that wants to make a decision to say that it's okay coming out of many of the transgender physicians' mindsets and the push by the Biden and Harris administration that it's all right. Who makes that decision? Who should decide that? Can that young kid make that decision? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing that a person's got to be 21 years old to buy alcoholic beverages. It's amazing that in America, most states, you got to be 18 years old to vote. It's amazing that at least 18 years old to go into the military. And yet, someone that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a preteen or a teenager, that they're old enough to make a decision about the modification of their body, which is going to put them in the hands of Big Pharma for the rest of their lives. And those that go through that transitional surgery, as they call it, does not change anything other than perhaps the outward appearance. And the potential of suicide is up by 46%. And the lives of those that make that decision, even if they make the decision, they're 18, 19, 20 years of age. The suicide rate is up by 46% for those that do that, because they recognize after they've done it, it's too late. There's no turning back. There's no changing. In fact, this morning on the early morning news, a young lady that they interviewed on Fox News that was out in front of the Supreme Court gave her testimony about how at 12 and 13 years of age that she was transitioned, her body parts were modified and changed, and how she realized that it was wrong, but it was too late. And now she is back in the, quote, physical body from the outward appearance of being a young lady, and she talked about it in grave regret about what it had done to her life. And yet that is rarely, rarely heard on the Marxist media, the socialist agenda today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration says that it's okay for a 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old up to even some up to 13 to 16 years of age that they can make the decision themselves as to whether or not the body parts butchered and changing their lives forever. Who should make that decision? Again, I'll go back to the headline of an article. Who should decide when a child can change genders? Well, number one, you cannot change gender. It's a demonic lie. It's a demonic deception that causes one to think that that is even potentially possible. I'm looking at a headline, Children and Gender Identity, Supporting Your Child. Let me just tell you, this article is from the Mayo Clinic staff. They're advocating for transgender surgery. They're advocating for a child being able to make that decision, and they're advocating for the fact that if a child wants to be transgendered or to have surgery, even though they are not capable of making the decision, that once they start that, the parent needs to, quote, listen to your child, let your child guide in what needs to be done because they know what their body needs. This article reads in part, sex assigned at birth and gender identity are two separate things. Sex assigned at birth is typically made by based on external genital autonomy. Atomy, that is. So, God made a mistake? God made a mistake? Further, the article reads, gender identity develops separately from sexual orientation. People's sexual orientation is related to whom they are attracted to, or physical, or emotional, or romantic. Children who are transgender have a gender identity that doesn't match with their assigned sex at birth. In many cases, children will say how they feel. They may strongly identify as a girl, or strongly identify as a boy. Most children go through the periods of gender exploration through the way they dress and the toys they choose to play with, the role playing that they do. Some may even insist that their gender is different from that of other birth sex. However, this is likely not a phase. It can continue as they get older. At age 5 and 6, most children are rigid about their gender preferences. These feelings tend to become more flexible at age. A child's gender expression doesn't always point to the child's gender identity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is 3 pages. It is an article promulgating the thought that that child needs to be the driving force. That child needs to be the one that tells mom and dad of what sex that he or she wants to be, and the mom and dad needs to follow that as their guiding direction as to what they need to do. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, most of the research that's done, most of the information that's promulgated and pushed by the media, most of the information that's promulgated and pushed by the Harris-Biden administration is that's coming out of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. I'm looking at a headline from Liberty Counsel Matt Staver. A man with an LGBTQ agenda has teamed up with the ACLU in a scheme to force Christian institutions to abandon their doctrines and missions. Liberty Counsel is on that case. Jonathan Zinke deliberately lied to the nation's largest Christian university, Liberty University, when he applied for and accepted a job at the school's IT desk. Now he's suing the Liberty University to force the university to adopt the LGBTQ's non-biblical agenda. The case was set up from the beginning. 4 months before he applied for work at Liberty University, he began taking female hormones. When offered the IT job that required him to interact with students, Jonathan readily signed a doctrinal statement agreeing to abide by the university's deeply held religious beliefs as a condition of employment. The doctrinal statement clearly states that human beings are created, not evolved, in this and the very image of God as either biologically male or biologically female from the womb. And that is, it is a sinful act prohibited by God to deny one's birth sex by self-identification of a different gender. But Jonathan lied when he signed the statement to deceive the Christian school. As I said, Jonathan, it turns out, had been taking female hormones 4 months prior to the job offer. Secretly, he continued with his plans to change his name and undergo surgery after signing the doctrinal statement and starting his job. 10 days after Jonathan's 90-day probationary period ended, he dropped the bomb meant to execute his plan. In a letter to the school, Jonathan admitted he had been deceiving the Christian university and demanded that the school abandon its doctrine, allowing him to dress like a woman and be called Eleanor at work, end quote. And the article goes on. Ladies and gentlemen, It's the promulgation and the pushing by the sodomite agenda to make one believe, make a parent believe, make a family believe that somehow, some way, that child's going to commit suicide if that child is not allowed to have transitional surgery. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. I completely agree that it is absolute criminal what is happening through this sodomite agenda. And it is absolutely just from the basic understanding of the Bible, the confusion that it causes for children and society to say that you can pick your agenda is absolutely confusing in the most basic understanding. And we know that God is not the author of confusion. So as you said, God does not make mistakes. We are who we are when we are born, and it is absolutely normal for us to role play as we grow to understand and develop according to the natural stages of development. I believe it's called Erickson's stages of development.
Correct. You're exactly right. And one of the things that is so disconcerting for me is to see what appears to be a mass push for this transgender butchery, where healthy body parts are chopped off, and where there's the mindset you can grow longer hair, put on lipstick and makeup, put on high heel shoes and a dress, and all of a sudden you're a girl, or vice versa, you become a boy. There's a real problem with that. Most of the research, Lisa, that's been done along those lines, been research coming out of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. And one of the things that is so distressing is to understand that across the nation, about 2% identify in that category, and yet they're pushing it now, though. It is passing out aspirins as candy, as popcorn, and somehow, some way, it should be accepted in that fashion. And yet, at the same time, Lisa, to let our listening audience understand how we have plummeted morally, ethically, and spiritually in America, that we have allowed this to inundate us because we've left the basics of the foundation of America with the biblical platform that America was built on. In fact, in the state of New York, the governor there, I'm looking at a headline, governor makes adultery legal in New York. The governor of New York has signed a measure that repeals the statutory ban on adultery in the state. Cheating on your spouse is no longer a crime, according to Kathy Hochul in New York State. It goes on to talk about it. It was formerly a crime, and that's no longer a crime. It's because of that, and also, at least, it's because of what we find taking place in our public school system. It is a stench in the nostrils of God to see what is taking place in our school systems that allows that to take place. For example, in our school, you're familiar with it, educational system today, kids are taught to hate the parents, to disobey the parents, to hate God, disobey God, and not to have any moral ethical standard. That is found in what is being taught today. It's called the LGBTQ agenda curriculum. Our kids are taught that whatever they say, whatever is taught from a pornographic standpoint, that it's okay. It's not okay. It's indoctrinating and brainwashing our kids. Therefore, as you said a moment ago, it's bringing about major confusion, and that confused child ought not to be the one to make the decision to destroy that physicality for the future. We're made in the image of God. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake when he said he created only two genders. So, Lisa, it demands our serious concern, our interest, and our prayer for the Supreme Court hearing the oral arguments. I've already read some of the statements and some of the thoughts behind some of the Supreme Court justices, the liberal branch of the justices. They're already saying that this needs to be overturned. They're already saying that there ought not to be a law that prevents that. And so I'm hoping that the moral, ethical majority on our Supreme Court rules with what is right rather than turning the clock back and destroying the morals of our kids.
Amen, amen. And there is a diagnosis in the healthcare profession, Munchausen's by proxy, where adults, parents, keep their kids sick, make up illnesses so that they can validate themselves and they can feel important themselves I used to be a behavioral health nurse, and we saw it quite often. People, parents, would say there was something wrong with their children because they were unfit parents. So there is a whole just out of order, out of godly order to the whole agenda. And they call it, always call it care, gender care, Obamacare. We need to make sure that we are not allowing them to speak in manners that will fool and deceive. There's nothing, nothing caring about confusing your child and then horrifically allowing them to make decisions that will affect their entire lives.
All of their lives. Lisa, you're exactly right. It demands our urgent recognition and prayer. Thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the headline. CBS decides to conceal the dangers of transgender mutilation of kids. It goes on to talk about a series of advertisements exposing the dangers of transgender mutilation for minors, and some key swing states have been rejected by CBS and its parent company, Paramount. It goes on to say in this article, CBS and Paramount have been aggressive in pushing transgenderism through mass media. So why should they be afraid to discuss what it really means for everyday families whose kids are receiving their pro-transgender messaging? That goes back to what I said a little earlier, that we're witnessing today where the mass media, the socialist Marxist media, is basically carrying the water, carrying the messaging for the Biden administration. And I believe Joe Biden has a fixation in his mental deficiency that somehow, some way, believes that his legacy is going to be transitioning the whole world. And he's trying to do that in America, if no other place. Look at the headline. Democrats pay political price for the war on the family. The media fixate on the gender gap while ignoring the family gap. The latter is one of the signs of the Democrats' decline. It goes on to talk about all the hot buttons of the issues 2024 campaign affected families, the cost of food, transportation, etc., etc. The Democrats' open border, including gang members, etc. But it goes on to talk about how there is a plan to resist anything that Trump wants to do in regards to the moral ethical changes on Title IX that would prevent males from going into females' restrooms, bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers. They will go back to the gender identity based on birth gender and not based on the gender dysphoria that's taking place today. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I would like to address a topic of great importance to all Floridians. I heard that President Trump is considering withdrawing the nomination of Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense and appoint Ron DeSantis. Well, very wrong. It shouldn't happen. We need Ron DeSantis as our governor. I do not want Janet Nunes to be the lieutenant governor, to be my governor. I want Ron DeSantis to stay for the full 2 years that he's got left, and Pete should be confirmed. It's very important for the whole country.
Derby, I second that motion. In fact, I just said this morning when I heard that rattle, personally, I believe it is a razzle-dazzle that's been promulgated by the media and not by the words of President Trump. Some fashion, Trump could have said something that would lead someone to think that. But I think we need, as you said, we need to keep Ron DeSantis as our governor. He's been a super governor. Some things I've disagreed with him on. Notwithstanding, I believe he needs to remain in office for the next 2 years. I do not want a weaker governor governing the state of Florida. I'm already concerned that when his term is out, of the potentiality of having a socialist Marxist media decide that we're going to have a liberal governor for the state of Florida. God forbid that that happened. But my response is, I've already said it, perhaps I've said it 100 times already on this broadcast, not just today, but President Trump needs to move very rapidly with the push for those that he's appointed to be confirmed. But it will never, hear me, it will never happen by the controlling factors of Mitch McConnell in the Senate. And as soon as Mitch McConnell is not the leader of the Senate, John Thune will be. John Thune was secretly voted on by some of the ones that Mitch McConnell wanted to have as the leader of the Senate. I believe that President Trump, after being sworn in, needs to make arrangements somehow, some way, to have a 10-day Supreme Court ruled in 2014 that a recess appointment could not, the recess of Senate could not be less than 10 days. So we need to have a 10-day recess in the Senate, and President Trump's nominees, all of them, one fell swoop, should be approved, and Trump can have his cabinet. Otherwise, hear me, otherwise, Trump will not have a full cabinet for his first 2 years in office. And the first 2 years in office is the only hope that we have for major changing in the right direction taking place. So I'm of the same opinion. We need to keep Governor DeSantis where he is. We need to have Pete Hegseth, Seth, that is the appointee. He needs to be confirmed. They're trying to make it look like he's the worst thing since sliced bread, and somehow, some way, he ought not to be considered. I think they're building up a case against him, as they are now with Kash Patel and others that they do not want in office. So they're trying to bombard the media, media trying to bombard the public of thinking that, well, these guys need to have their names withdrawn. So keep praying. You're exactly right, Derby. Thank you for your comment today. God bless you. And as we keep looking up, ladies and gentlemen, remember, there's a major, 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 major war on the family in America. There's a war on morals. There's a war on ethics. There's a more war on values in America. And it's a demonic war. It's a war between God and Satan. It's a war between good and evil. It's a war between the Savior and Satan himself. I'm looking at a headline. Being in shock. School takes action after teen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this, I believe, is one of the core reasons that we find the sexual dysphoria so prominent in young people's lives today. Listen to this article. Being in shock, school takes action after teen was forced to read porn out loud in the classroom. A school in Nevada has agreed to settle a lawsuit brought on behalf of a child in the district who was forced by officials to read pornography out loud in the class. The resolution to the case is described by the American Center for Law and Justice as a significant victory. The basis of the lawsuit was the officials in Nevada Clark County School District had forced the child to perform pornography monologue in a theater class, the legal team explained. After significant testimony was revealed in depositions, the case was settled with us, affirming the rights of the parent and the student to face in the face of inappropriate educational content. The case was over the forced performance by a 15-year-old female student, and a judge had rejected the school's demand that the case be dismissed. School officials, and even if parental permission had been requested, the reading was never, should never have been approved for a classroom setting, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, we're reaping the whirlwind because of sowing to the wind. In our school system, the students are taught to hate the parents, to hate God. In our school system today, kids are shown raw pornography in the classroom and even required to act out certain parts in the classroom in a mixed male-female classroom setting. And ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the problem that we're seeing today. Our children are bombarded with the lies of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda at a very early age. Therefore, they will embrace the lies thinking that it is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned about what we see taking place. In fact, the headline Franklin Graham says, Americans must help each other amid any storms and devastation. We must trust in God and God's goodness. And that's our only hope, because, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a position today that if the Supreme Court rules against the state of Tennessee is the one that brought the case, families in Tennessee, because some families there wanted their child to have the right to be transitioned without the parent having any, or without the parent having any say so. If the child wants the transition, the parent's required to do so. I'm looking at a headline. Is three years old, too young for a child to know their difference in gender? Transgender research disagrees. This article is a woven fabric of trying to point out the two different agreements or disagreements in relationship to that. It is postulating it's okay, and then another side says that it's not okay. I'll just read you a paragraph. Many gender clinicians now recommend parents socially transition kids who persistently express a transgender identity. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the mindset with the, quote, clinicians, those are supposed to have the medical knowledge of what needs to be done, they recommend parents socially transition their child if that child persistently expresses a transgender identity. In other words, what does it mean persistently express a transgender identity? If that little boy wants to put on the girl's clothes, if that little boy wants to find mommy's lipstick when he's 3 years old and smear it on his face, somehow, some way, that means that that child is expressing a transgender identity, and the parents have that right to transition that child. This article then says, but research has shown most children will give up their transgender identity by the time of their adolescence, end quote. That's a positive statement. And that is a true statement. There's a dysphoria in their sexuality. And if the parent makes the decision, well, my little boy is really a girl, and we need to transition, I think, ladies and gentlemen, it's a crime against humanity. I think that a doctor that performs that surgery should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And this article goes on to talk about Gracely is the youngest transgender person I've ever met. She started on behalf of wanting to be a boy when she was 3 years old. And she was started on transgender hormones and treatment at the age of 6 years old, according to this article. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong when that is taking place. Here's a headline. This expresses further what I'm saying that causes this transgenderism mindset. Leftist school officials sued for forcing kids to share beds and showers with the opposite sex of their classmates. Colorado was taken over by the liberals through a political coup a good number of years ago. Leftists with hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank strategically donated to the key state legislative races, etc., etc. The results were predictable. The state and local boards are followed suit, and the state now has a defined agenda to attack all Christians and the Christian faith and biblical truth. The state lost both their fights, incidentally, at the Supreme Court, which solid evidence that they were wrong. But the state now has homosexual multimillionaire governor Jared Polis. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem that we find today is that we're brainwashing and absolutely sexualizing our kids from a very early age, and then wonder why this is the phenomena today. We need to keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth. First